Welcome to Christian Assembly, a family church. Since 1930, we've been serving the communities of Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia with the good news of Jesus Christ. With over 40 years of Bible teaching and ministry experience, Pastor Bill brings faith-filled revelation from God's Word. We believe with you, wherever you are, that God will inspire and change your life through the following teaching. For more information about Christian Assembly, follow us on social media or visit our website at cafamily.net.
My title is Infused to be Used. Infused to be used tonight. Amen. Praise God. When God wants to get people's attention, or when he wants to get his cause fulfilled, oftentimes what he'll do is use signs and wonders to do so. And you can't make him give you a sign. You can't make him give you a wonder. You can't make him call you, anoint you, appoint you to do whatever. He's sovereign in that regard. And whatever he chooses to do, who he chooses to use is who he chooses to use and what he chooses to do. And we understand that, right? So Moses was someone who was called by God at a burning bush, and he was told by God that he wanted him to go, and he wanted him to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage and slavery, right? Well, Moses wasn't too enthusiastic about that. As a matter of fact, he was quite apprehensive about that. And he said, well, what if I get there to the people of Israel, and I go back, and I tell them that I saw you, I had an encounter with you, and then they tell me, like, prove it. Prove it. How do we know? Well, look in the book of Exodus chapter 4, we could reveal to you at least three things he said that they should do, that he should do. So Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, well, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and he fled. Smart man. From before it. And the Lord said, Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. So in other words, here's a sign. Here's a wonder. Right? That was one thing they could do. So if they challenge you and they say you haven't, you know, seen the Lord, just do this. Okay. But if they don't listen, there's number two. There's a backup plan. Leprosy. Look at the next couple of verses there. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into your bosom. Put his hand to his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Okay. God's got a thing going here with Moses, doesn't he? You think they're not going to listen? Okay. Number one, throw down the rod. Number two, do the hand in the bosom thing with leprosy. All right. Number three, the next one. Let's read it. Take some water from the Nile, it'll turn to blood. It shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Okay. Now he's got a plan in place. Now it doesn't say that he practiced that one because he probably wasn't near enough to the Nile River to get the water to turn it into blood. But he's now going to go before the children of Israel, and you know what, the next verse, it's not up there, but the next verse he says, well, I got this other problem, I can't talk very well. He had more excuses than anybody, but anyhow, he didn't want to do it. But notice this, notice in verses 29 to 31 of the same chapter, and Moses and Aaron went, gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. So the signs were specific to be used to have them to believe. And they believe now that Moses truly did hear from God, and now he set this plan in motion, and he was going to deliver them from Egyptian slavery and bondage. Well, that's one aspect of this, but look at the next one. Look in Exodus chapter 12, because now Pharaoh was hard-hearted, we know that, stubborn, didn't want to let the people go. But God used supernatural signs to really speak to his heart and mind, and of course it took the death of a firstborn of every child and livestock to really break through his hard heart. But look at the verse. Pharaoh rose up at night, in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said, and take your flocks and your herds and as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. Now this was the culmination of all the 10 plagues, you know that. The signs, the wonders, the miracles that took place, 10 of them in a row, but it took the last one, the death of the firstborn, to really break through to get him to understand, I better let them go or it's going to be even worse for us. But notice at the very end he said, and bless me. And bless me. Okay. Well, it's sad that it took the death of the firstborn, but with all those signs and all those wonders, they still, you know, it took that to get them to believe. Look at the next one, Numbers 14, the Israelites. And this is extremely important to all of us. The Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Then Moses intercedes, and look at the next two verses. Moses intercedes on their behalf. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. God uses signs and wonders and miracles to capture people's attention and to promote his cause to be done in the earth. The ones that were good signs that they saw, the cloud by day, the fire by night, the manna every day, the waters at Marah, the waters that came out of the rock, etc., etc., all those good, wonderful signs. But they still would not believe. So God gets to the point to where he can't take anymore. Really, there's nothing more he can do. What more can I do? I show them so many wonderful signs, miracles and wonders, and still they won't believe my word. He was frustrated with them. He was upset with them. He got to the point to where he knows, I can't do anything with these people. So now they got to be judged. They brought judgment upon themselves because they refused to believe, even though there were signs, wonders, and miracles that took place right before their eyes. You wonder how many miracles and signs and wonders does it take to get people to start believing God's word. Their unbelief is what's kept them out of the promised land. God was just so frustrated with them that he had to raise up a generation of people under Joshua that believed his word. Then we come to someone named Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How? By miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. So here's his credentials, you could say. He did signs, he did wonders, he did miracles to capture the attention of the people, to promote the cause of the Father in the earth. Right there among his own people, they saw him do all kinds of miraculous signs, walking on water, even to raising the dead. And yet, the Jews, of course, didn't believe. But still, he did these wonderful signs and wonders, but never took credit for anything that was done by him. He said, it was the Father in me who does the work, not me. So look at John's gospel, a couple of verses here. Then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So he takes no credit. Then look at verse 49 of chapter 12. For I have not spoken to myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. So to sum it up, he says, what I'm saying because the Father said. What I'm doing because that's what I saw the Father do. So what I do and what I say all comes from the Father. He gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. All these signs, all these wonders, all these miracles are not for me or for my glory, he's saying, but for the Father. That's it. I take no credit for any of it. So God is using signs, wonders, and miracles. He's infused into Moses what he needed to be used by him to reach the people by anointing him and by allowing him to manifest these particular signs and wonders. He anoints Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who goes about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But he said it was the Father in him that did all the work. So he was infused to be used by the Father to carry out his plan and purpose and fulfill the cause of redemption, which we know that. But look at the Jews in Matthew's gospel. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answering, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Really? Really, you would see a sign? He's done all these signs, all these wonders, all these miracles. He's turned water into wine. He's healed the sick. He's cleansed the lepers. He's raised the dead. He's walked on water. He's fed the multitudes. You saw the multitudes that were fed. There were baskets left over. You saw all that. We want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He did all those signs. He did all those wonders. They saw them all. He even raised Lazarus from the dead in front of them, but they still refused to believe, and they wouldn't even believe his message. So God uses signs and wonders like a billboard to bring people to the place. It's like a calling card, like an invitation. Come and see. This is what I'm about. And they still won't believe. So now he's absolutely frustrated with them. I thank God for signs and wonders, and I believe we're going to see a lot more. But you know what? Those are purposed and intended to bring us to a place that we believe what God's word says about our redemptive rights in Christ, and we start applying them and appropriating them in our lives as he wants us to. Well, here in John's Gospel, chapter 14, their only sign was the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, the greatest of all signs. But anyhow, verily, verily means I solemnly tell you. It's almost as if he is saying, I'm swearing to you on myself. I'm solemnly telling you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He knew that they would be challenged, just like the others were challenged, just like he was challenged. Moses was challenged. He was challenged. He knew they'd be challenged as well. And he's instructing them, and he's telling them, look, I want you to bring all that you have in my name anywhere and everywhere you go. Whatever you demand as a right and a privilege of yours in my name, I will back it up and I will do it, that the Father would be glorified in the Son. The word asked there is more of a demand. In other words, you demand not of the Father, but you demand that the devil get off of my property, devil get out of my health, my life, etc., etc. What you demand in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So, in his name, he makes it clear to them that they can take all that he is and present all that he is everywhere they go, so that he would be actually doing the works through them. So, all believers then have the right to do exactly what he said. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 15. You know the verses, but let's read them. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these what? Signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you're bringing all that he is on the scene when you say that. When you say in the name of Jesus, you're bringing everything that he is on the scene. Shall they cast out devils They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Beloved, there is no greater sign than the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. That is the sign of all signs. You and I have been equipped with the ability to be infused with this understanding and this revelation and this knowledge and this power that raised up Jesus from the dead, so we can be used by Him to fulfill His purposes in the earth, to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues, etc., etc. So no matter who we are, every single one of us needs us to rise up to a place that we take the name of Jesus everywhere we go and do exactly what He said to do. Now, I have this little plan in me. Before I get to that last verse, I like to head up a committee that we all go to the White House. Okay? And we get a little bit of water from the Potomac. And we go right up to the president's office. And we let everybody in government know we're not pleased with what's going on in our nation. We're in a state of confusion. It's insanity that's going on. People don't know their identity. They don't know who they are. We're funding people that are illegal immigrants coming into our nation, giving them more money than we give people that are citizens here. Their veterans are all sleeping on the streets and all that, but we're taking care of these others. We want God, we'd love that, to show up, throw down our pencils and turn them into a snake. You follow me on this? Put your hand in your bosom and pull out the leprosy. You see all this? Put it back in, pull it back out, now you're healed. Wake up, government, wake up. Country, wake up, politicians. Beloved, what I'm saying is this: only God, through signs and wonders, is going to turn this nation around. And the one performing the signs and wonders are the ones who have a right to use the name of Jesus to take all that He is everywhere we go to accomplish His purposes and get people's attention. It's time to have some kind of services, praise God, where people come from all around to see what God is doing and see what is going on. Because God is showing up, showing off, and manifesting His power and glory like He has never before. We're talking about living in the last of the last days. We're looking for this wonderful last day revival, which we believe God is going to continue to pour out His Spirit and manifest His glory in a powerful way. And we want to be a part of that, but we have to align ourselves with Him and let Him know, here I am, Lord. Infuse me to use me. I'm ready. Infuse me to use me. I'm setting aside all garbage, praise God. I want the glory. I want the power. I want Your might. I want to walk in the fullness of what I have been given in Christ. I'm going to close this little section here with this last prayer the apostle prayed. In Ephesians 1, you know, he said we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Some translations say with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Peter says we've been given all things, all things. Everybody say all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness, we've been given. Not going to get, but we have been given. We have all things been given to us. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's all ours. We have in us Christ, the hope of glory, the fullness of who God is, right? Well, when Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, did he pray, now, Lord, bless this church. Lord, I want You to have more peace in this church. Lord, I want this. No, he didn't. I want you to hear what he prayed for the church at Ephesus. And he prayed for other churches the same way. Let's read it. Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, concise, complete comprehension and understanding of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, number one. To know the hope of His calling, brothers, number one. what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is number two, and the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, put all things beneath his feet, giving him to be head over all things, right? For the benefit of the church. Here's what Paul is saying. I want you to understand three things, church at Ephesus. I want you to know the hope of his calling. This hope of his calling is a holy, high, holy calling. It involves salvation, surrender, and service unto the Lord. You've been called to a high place. As you live your life on this planet, you've been called to a high place in God above any other place. Number two, not just to know the hope of your calling, but also the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. The greatness of his power that we have. A revelation of wisdom, knowledge, understanding of these things, to know our inheritance that we have in Christ and his high holy calling, and a revelation of this power given to us that raised Jesus from the dead. Paul was saying this is the ultimate prayer. If this prayer is answered, that we have a revelation, a depth of understanding and also comprehension of the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that dwells in us. Oh, glory to God. Everywhere we go, we'd be like dynamite for the Lord. And he knew that. That's why he said he's able to do for you exceeding abundantly according to the power that's at work within you. This dunamis, this miracle-working power. This should be our prayer tonight. I want to know the hope you're calling. I want the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I want a deep revelation and understanding, comprehension of the power that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in me. You know what? Last Sunday, we gave you that verse in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15 from the Message translation of the Bible that says, in Christ, your sins are all forgiven. Your slate is wiped clean. And the arrest warrant against you has been canceled. And he took the devil, he stripped him naked, and paraded him down the street. God wants us to get a revelation of the devil's defeat, the Lord's victory, and what it means to the Father and each and every one of us. Lord, open up our eyes, the understanding of our hearts and our minds to have this depth of understanding of who we are and what we have in Christ. We don't want to be emotional about this. We want to be realistic about this. Christ in us, the hope of glory, which is why he said, in my name, you go forth and do signs, wonders, miracles. As you saw me do, you do the same thing in my name. You bring all that I am to the table whenever you go to minister to somebody, to preach the word, to declare the truth, whatever. Draw from the resources of all that he's infused in your being to be used by him, praise God, to make a difference in the world. Can we do that? I didn't understand some of these things when I first got saved. You have to understand, I was 24 years old at the time. And I was excited for God. Like I said, God chooses you. You don't choose what you want to do. You tell him, you don't tell him what you want to do. He chooses you to do what he wants you to do, right? He's the one that sets people in the body as his, according to his will, right? Right. So before I went off to Rhema, I was invited by the pastor at Christian Assembly Church on South Avenue in Youngstown, Ohio. He asked me to preach in his church. I don't know why. Remember, I don't preach. I don't talk in front of people. But for some odd reason, I said, okay. I got myself into big trouble. They didn't have a lot of people in the church except for on that day. On that day, that whole church was packed. I've got family in that area, you have to understand that. They knew I was preaching there as well. So the whole place is packed. Now this pastor walks up, he had a little pew right over here. He gets on his knees and he's praying. I'm next to him sweating bullets. I am ready to pass out. Why did I agree to this? This is absurd. I'm out of my mind. Why did I agree to come up here and do this? You think I preached fast when I was in Midland? You never heard anything like this in your life. The police were going to pick me up for speeding, speed talking or whatever. I just got my Bible out, and I studied the Word of God. I knew the Word of God, and I just took off. I took a text, and I took off. And I preached as hard and as fast as I could, probably for around 40 minutes, and I just let it go, praise God. And then I'm thinking, okay, I'm done now, but I don't know what to do because I came from a different background. I had no idea what to do in a Pentecostal church. I stood there for just a moment. I said, what do I do now? Well, if somebody needs something from God, come up here to the altar. And they all came up to the altar. A lot of people came up to the altar. And they had an altar bench there at the time. And this, they just start lined up just like that there. So I walked down to the first lady that was over there. And I want to pray for her. I want to lay hands on her. I never touched her. The Holy Ghost picked her up and threw her about 10 feet back from kneeling down, just threw her. My eyes got big as saucers. I stood there looking at her. I looked at the next lady. I said, what do you want? She was like, some of these signs, these wonders, these demonstrations of God's power and might, we can't manufacture them. When I first came here 45 years ago, there were angels seen above the house, the parsonage of the church. There were angels seen next to me when I was walking the street in downtown Midland. I was accused of having bodyguards with me. Why am I saying this? You can't make God do what you want to do. It has nothing to do with you, nothing to do with me. This is God's doing. If he calls Moses, he calls Moses. If he calls Paul, he calls Paul. If he anoints this one, that one, or the other one, that's what he does. But I'll tell you this, every one of us in this place is infused to be used by God. And he wants us to take it to the umpteenth because we're in the last days.